Good afternoon, and welcome to the Semler Scientific First Quarter 2019 conference call. All participants will be in a listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. Before we begin, Semler Scientific would like to remind you that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements. Such statements can be identified by words such as may, will, expect, anticipate, estimate, or other words with similar meaning, and such statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause Semler Scientific's actual results to differ materially from those discussed here. Please note that these forward-looking statements reflect Semler Scientific's opinions only as of the date of this presentation, and it undertakes no obligation to revise or publicly release the result of this revision to these forward-looking statements in light of new information or future events. Please refer to Semler Scientific's SEC filings for a more detailed description of the risk factors that may affect Semler Scientific's results and these forward-looking statements. Now, I'd like to now introduce Doug Murphy-Chutorian, CEO of Semler Scientific. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the Semler Scientific First Quarter 2019 financial results call. Semler is an emerging growth company that provides technology solutions to improve the clinical effectiveness and efficiency of healthcare providers. Our mission is to develop, manufacture, and market innovative products that assist our customers in evaluating and treating chronic disease. We believe that our technology and software solutions enable our customers to identify when preventive care options are appropriate and to intervene before events like heart attacks and strokes occur. I'm happy to report that the company's financial performance during the first quarter of 2019, based on revenue and net income, was the best quarter in our company's history. Comparing results from the first quarter of 2019 to the first quarter of 2018, revenue grew 51%, net income grew 163%, earnings per share were $0.29 basic and $0.23 diluted, and cash as of March 31st was $4.6 million, compared to $0.4 million 1 year ago. Other than describing in more detail the ongoing improvement in financial performance, today's call will be retelling information previously provided on recent earnings calls. So please refer to the financial results described in the press release that was distributed at the market close today. For the quarter ended March 31st, 2019, compared to the corresponding period of 2018, revenue was $6.8 million, an increase of $2.3 million, or 51%, from $4.5 million. Operating expense, which includes cost of revenue, was $4.9 million, an increase of $1.2 million, or 34%, from $3.7 million. Net income was $1.9 million, an increase of $1.1 million from $0.7 million. Earnings per share were $0.29 per basic and $0.23 per diluted share, which compares to $0.12 basic and $0.10 diluted. For the quarter ended March 31st, 2019, basic share count was 6,326,149, and diluted share count was 8,170,287. Analyzing the expense categories and earnings in the first quarter of 2019 as a percentage of quarterly revenue, cost of revenue was 13% of quarterly revenue, engineering and product development expense was 8% of quarterly revenue, sales and marketing expense was 31% of quarterly revenue, general and administrative expense was 20% of quarterly revenue, and net income was 27% of quarterly revenue. As of March 31st, 2019, compared to December 31st, 2018, Semler had cash of $4.6 million, an increase of $1.3 million compared to $3.3 million. This change is primarily due to cash provided by operations from net income, as adjusted by items such as accounts receivable, which decreased by $268,000, deferred revenue, which increased by $386,000, and cash was partially offset by accrued expenses, which decreased by $991,000, and purchases of inventory and capital expenditures amounting to $456,000. As a result of these items, our stockholders' equity has now increased to $6.2 million as of March 31, 2019. Our quarterly report on Form 10-Q will include our cash flow statement and more discussion of our cash and liquidity. It has been the intent of the company at some point in time to relist its common stock on NASDAQ. We have not yet decided on or announced a timeline for the NASDAQ application process. Although we do not give formal guidance, we are intent on continuing annual revenue growth, increased profitability, and generating cash during 2019. We believe revenue will continue to grow due to the increased numbers of installation of our product, more usage of our product, and recurring revenue from the licensing business. Our goal is to both make new additions to our customer base and to expand orders from existing customers. Operating expenses are expected to increase from quarter to quarter during 2019. It is our intent to expand our infrastructure to accommodate anticipated future growth of the business. Our aim is to have revenues increase at a faster rate than expenses and to remain profitable. There is no plan to raise additional capital at this time. We reserve the right to change our financing plans as opportunity or need arises. Our goals for 2019 are to grow revenue, increase earnings, and further establish our QuantaFlo product as a standard of care in the industry. We believe the market for vascular disease testing is large relative to our current market penetration, so there is room for continued growth. We think Semler Scientific is well positioned in this healthcare market because we deliver cost-effective wellness solutions for the care of patients with chronic diseases. We may improve health outcomes for patients by identifying those who benefit from preventive health measures. And we provide economics that work for the providers, the facilities, the insurance plans, the government, and the patient. To conclude my prepared remarks, in terms of both financial performance and the number of patients being tested with our products, the first quarter of 2019 was an achievement record for the company. I thank you for your interest in the company and your continuing support. And now, operator, please open the lines for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. The first question today comes from Brooks O'Neill with Lake Street Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Doug. How's everything?
Things are going well, Brooks. Nice to have you on the call.
Thank you very much. I noticed in your press release on page one, you said completed development and deployment of another operating platform for the QuantaFlo product. I'm not sure I understand what that means. Can you help me?
Yes. When we first introduced the QuantaFlo product, it was housed on a Windows platform. We then added an Android platform and now have completed the platforms by adding the iOS platform.
I got it. That's good. I think that probably makes it compatible with just about every computer that's out there, right?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. All right. That's good. I noticed as I looked around at various websites, including your own, that it seems like there's a lot of hiring activity around the United States that might relate to either current or future deployments of Quantaflow. Can you just give me any color that you're willing to offer as relates to that activity?
Well, clearly, yes. One can see that we're intending to increase our infrastructure, generally speaking, and I say the human infrastructure, in anticipation of revenue growth. Since we don't give guidance, giving you too much color about that would amount to giving guidance, so I apologize if I can't do that. And clearly, commenting on our customers and their hiring practices also puts me in a similar situation. So, but suffice to say that we are buying inventory, we are anticipating growth, but we're not making any statements about guidance.
Yep. All right. I got all that. That's very helpful. And then I'll just ask you maybe a slightly different way. Is a couple quarters ago you mentioned perhaps having one of the best quarters in history, and at the same time it wasn't 100% obvious based on your reported results that that fact was supportable by your business results. Can you comment at all about whether you're making additional progress with some of the customers that perhaps you won a quarter or two ago, and when, or maybe any comment about when we might see some of that flow into the income statement?
Well, we're not quantifying giving those actual numbers, but once again, the sales team has brought in new clients and has also obtained more orders from the established clients. I also have described in the past that we do expect from time to time spurts in revenue where we get larger size orders, and then it may take, as I have mentioned historically, sometimes we may not charge for those products upon shipping, which we usually do, but may charge upon them being placed in the field, because when they are placed in the field, we know what when that timing is, and this is in an attempt to make the IT departments of our customer able to take a larger shipment from us originally so that they can put it on their tablets and deploy them at a pace that they can control. That being said, we are still looking at that same scenario where you will see us presumably spurt from time to time. Clearly, the change from last year's quarter this year, or even from the sequential last quarter to now, kind of represents a mini version of one of those spurts as we did increase. So you will see that. But we do feel very comfortable that orders have continued to come in. And I think the expression I've used in the past was that management is confident about continued growth. And I think that's the most enthusiasm that I can express.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate all that color, Doug. Just one more. Can you characterize whether you're seeing more interest from plans that operate in the Medicare Advantage area, or are you seeing more interest from commercial plans or Medicaid plans, or just any color would be extremely helpful?
I think that what we're seeing in the industry, and I guess everyone is seeing it, but something we had anticipated in setting up our business, is the big groups are getting bigger. They're consolidating.
Yeah.
Their pharmacies are buying insurance plans. Insurance plans are buying physician practices, et cetera. So to that extent, as long as we continue to provide our services to those larger customers, we feel kind of comfortable that we're crossing, if you will, across all the types of accounts that you've mentioned. Medicare Advantage, Medicare, these all patients are potentially ones that could benefit using the American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology criteria for who is at risk and who should be tested for peripheral artery disease. So that's what our product Quantaflow does, and as I said, it's you would assume that each one of those groups is going to continue to do this, or certainly have economic incentive to do it. And the other basis of what we do is we believe there's a substantial clinical benefit when you use QuantaFlow in conjunction with preventive care, or in some cases even interventional care. If indeed you can place a stent and avoid a heart attack, that's a terrific advantage. So no change in terms of what we're seeing. We're seeing, you know, quite a different, if you will, spectrum of types of accounts that are buying from us.
Perfect. Thank you very much for all that color, and congratulations on your terrific results.
Thanks for the questions, Brooke.
The next question comes from Kyle Bowser with Dougherty & Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, Doug. Great quarter here. Thanks for taking the questions.
Thank you, Kyle.
So, you know, QuantaFlow is becoming the standard of care, clearly, and particularly within Medicare Advantage patients. And I know that large orders take some time to materialize before being recognized as sales, as you mentioned. But can you kind of describe the size of the orders you're getting currently versus kind of how they compare to the types of orders you received in the past?
Well, you know, we haven't delved so much into exactly size orders. I think in previous calls we've mentioned that we thought large orders would be in the hundreds. We, of course, also thought that it is plausible, given the size of some of the large health insurance plans who represent the customers that we are going after, that it's very possible that the orders could be substantially larger than hundreds and get into the thousands. That is kind of about all we've said in terms of the size of orders that we've gotten, that's a plausible outcome. And I do think that if order sizes more routinely came in the thousands, or certainly if they start coming in that, you would think it's more probable that we could get other orders like that. But suffice to say, I haven't really specified exactly order sizes yet to people, Kyle.
And then if we're talking about your largest client, can you kind of talk about how QuantaFlow is being rolled out into this account? For example, how you're sort of wrapping up your IT into their cloud system, and is it becoming easier to roll out QuantaFlow to new channels within this particular account?
I think that's it's a really an interesting question. I could try to give a little color to. For those particularly who may be a little bit new to this story, what we like to see is having a customer who is a large, let's say, larger health insurance plan, and we like to have operational leverage when working with them. That comes in the following forms. For example, most people will take our software and put it on their tablets. Years ago, we would supply a laptop, not so much anymore. So, in other words, the IT departments provide us support because they download our software, and then they're, generally speaking, the first call for any of the users in their plan. So they get the first call, and we therefore try to train the IT department and then support the IT department. In a similar fashion, many of these larger companies have their own training departments. So we are indeed training the trainer, providing e-learning opportunities, remote opportunities, maybe for materials, but they're actually going out and placing the machines with the primary care doctors or nurse practitioners, and that's very, very helpful to us, once again, in operational leverage, where we don't have to make all those visits ourselves. So those are two examples of how the larger customer works and how the business works. So if an example we were talking about before, so if someone wanted, let's say, 500 units from us, but their IT department wants to take a couple of months to get them all on the tablets and verify that everything's working, and the training department needs another month to go out and get them into the field, you know, we would bend our accounting, if you will, and instead of bill on shipment, we may bill on placement of the machine in the field and first use, because every test that's done, we get the information back generally to our servers, so we know that a test has started and we know we could start billing at that point in time. Does that help with the answer to your question? I hope I I may not have hit it exactly, but that's some of the information I think is useful, particularly for those who haven't followed the story before.
No, that's helpful. Thanks so much for the color here, and congrats on a great quarter.
Thanks, Kyle.
Our next question comes from Brian Marks with Zacks. Please go ahead.
Hi, Doug. Sorry about that. I have a voice problem today. Congrats on the quarter. Do you expect revenue to grow sequentially through 2019 as it did in the previous 2 years?
Well, I think, Brian, that our business model has been set up to be a recurring revenue model. So presumably, if that's the case, then as we add on new installations, the base of installation remains fairly steady, and we therefore would continue to have a continuous or sequential growth.
Okay. And what's your current fully diluted share count? Do you have that?
Yeah, I do. Hold one second. So we usually report the diluted share count, the actual numbers on a fully diluted basis, if you call it that, as of March 31st, would be outstanding 6,331,147 common shares, 276,214 warrants, 1,544,102 vested stock options, and 201,183 unvested stock options. Now, I'm afraid to say I don't have the calculation of adding those up right here, but it looks to me close to about $8.3 million just eyeballing it.
Okay, great.
$8.3 million shares, not dollars.
Perfect. Thanks, Doug.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the call back over to Doug Murphy-Katorian for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Thank you all for joining us today. I am very pleased with the quarter, obviously, and thank you for your questions. I look forward to updating you soon on our continued progress, and see you again probably near the end of July. Thanks again, and have a good day.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.